Track 9. And this is Brian Gall back at the desk to bring you the latest sporting news from round and about, starting with the local soccer and the Glass Boys, that's Starbridge Football Club. They were back in league action on Saturday with a 3-1 victory at home over Lowestoft. It was a necessary win because Starbridge are determined to be involved in the promotion race at the end of the season. They were lying third of top of the league before the match. Lowestoft were third from the bottom, so a home win should have been on the cards. But it didn't always go according to the script, and Lowestoft in fact scored first and were leading 1-0 at half-time. However, the local lads put things right in the second half and ran out a comfortable 3-1 victors in the end. That actually moved them up to second place in the league because one of the teams above them made a mistake on Saturday and lost their match. So they're now just 3 points behind Kettering, the league leaders, and in fact have a league fixture against Kettering before the end of November. So there will be a lot riding on that when it comes. Glass Boys were back in action again on Monday evening in a League Cup match against Cinderford. This was an up-and-down game. Glass Boys were one down at half-time, as they had been in the league fixture on Saturday, scored twice, and then just towards the end, their goalkeeper had a bit of a mad moment, felled one of the attacking players, was sent off, and the Cinderford team scored from the penalty spot. 2-2 going into injury time, and the visitors scored again, so they won 3-2. But I think that secretly, Starbridge are probably rather glad of that. They do want to concentrate on the league this season. Moving over to the rugby half of Starbridge, things were not at all happy at Stourton Park on Saturday. There was discord not only amongst the spectators, but on the pitch as well, I'm afraid, as there was a distinct falling out between some of the players in the second half of this match. The game was played in fairly stormy conditions. Starbridge were battling with the wind at their backs on the first half, but they took no advantage of that. Their only points were a well-struck penalty, and they led 3-0 at half-time. But in the second half, the visitors, who are filed from up in Lancashire, showed them how you do take advantage of the wind. They attacked vigorously down both flanks. They punted the ball ahead and chased it, and Starbridge's defence was just totally unequal to the task. And from being 3-0 up at half-time, they quickly found themselves 20-odd points behind. It was only towards the end when there was a bit of a fracas on the pitch which resulted in two foul players being sent to the bin for 10 minutes that Starbridge were able to take advantage of numerical superiority, and they did score a couple of tries but lost the match in the end by 36 points to 18, and frankly it was a bit of a disaster all round. Starbridge have got a day off this coming Saturday. There are no fixtures in the league, so they've got a little bit of time to mend their fences and for the various defenders to apologise to one another for the mess they made on Saturday. But their next match at Huddersfield on Saturday week will be a real tough test because Huddersfield are a very strong team this season, and I rather fear for the worst. Also on Saturday on the rugby front, there were the first of the autumn internationals. England scraped through against South Africa at Twickenham, winning by 12 points to 11. It was a hard game, as that score suggests, and will be even harder this coming Saturday when New Zealand provide the opposition. The other home international of any note on Saturday was Wales against Scotland, and the Welsh won that fairly comfortably by 21 points to 10. Right, let's move on to what's been happening on the cricket field, because yesterday, Tuesday, was the first test match between Sri Lanka and England, played at Galle, nearly the same name as myself, but with an E on the end, which is recognised as a spinner's paradise, and the Sri Lankan team and the England team were packed with spin bowlers. But it didn't go according to the script at all. The opening session was dominated by Sri Lanka pace bowlers, and England seemed to think that this was their opportunity to lash out and score as many runs as they could, with the result that five English batsmen were back in the pavilion by lunchtime. Things were put right after lunch when Folks, the wicketkeeper who has been picked for this thing because Bairstow is injured, offered some opposition. In fact, he did extremely well. He remained in the middle for the rest of the day while a few other wickets fell, and England ended the first day with 320 runs and 8 wickets down. A better outcome than might have been expected from the start. Just coming back to football for a minute, I usually comment on what's been happening amongst the senior West Midlands sides. Wolves on Saturday suffered their third loss in a row when they went down by 3-2 at home to Spurs. In the Championship, Villa won 2-0 against Bolton on Friday evening. West Brom lost 1-0 at Hull. And finally, Birmingham City. When I say finally, they've been on a great run lately, but it rather came to grief on Saturday, and they lost 3-1 at Derby. A bit of golf news. Justin Rose, the Englishman, who's now 38 years of age, has become the number one player in the world. He's the head of the leaderboard, as it were, having won a tournament, the Turkish Airlines Open tournament, last weekend. He just about did this. He won at he was against a Chinese opponent, and the final round had to go to an extra hole, where, fortunately for Rose, his opponent needed 3 putts from a distance of about 10 feet from the hole to get the ball down. Rose won that hole and the championship. Although he's been world number one before, he's only in his career won one major tournament. That was the US Open about 5 years ago. And he says that he's going to concentrate on trying to win a few more Open titles and play less regular tournament golf in the future. Also this coming week, we've got the tennis finals, the ATP finals at the O2 Arena in London. This is where the top 8 players in the world play a round robin against one another and see who turns out on Sunday week as the overall winner. Djokovic is there, and so is Federer, but there's no Nadal. He's out injured. He's got a knee injury which needs surgery, and he'll not be able to take part. And of course, there's no Andy Murray. Murray won this 2 years ago, but due to his injuries, he's backed up competition for the winter and hopes to be fit and ready to go when the Australian series of matches is culminating in the Australian Open starts in January and early February. Well, that's about it from the sports desk for this week. I shall be back next time with whatever's been happening. And until then, it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.